Blog Talk Radio.
Father, you hear our hearts this morning. We do not want to settle. We do not want to find our comfortable position and put up our tent there and be happy with you blessing me and mine. Father, we understand today that forgiveness and reconciliation and blessing and favor is given for reason, Lord God. It is given for purpose, Father. And today, God, we say, forgive us, Father, when we have taken on this attitude, Lord God, of all you've done. Father, use us, God, use us, pick us, choose us, Father. We want to spend ourselves. Father, I want to get to heaven with a life poured out, not with a life that looks perfect, Father. I want it to not look good, I want it to be good, Father. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. Let our love be seen, Father God, on this earth. Let our love be carved out, Father God, on the pavements of our neighborhoods. Let our love be carved out for you, Father. Oh, Jesus, for the lonely. Lord, for the state that we were in. We were in that state, God. Yet someone bothered to take the time and present you to us. We'll never ever take it for granted. And in turn, we live our lives as a thank you. As a thank you, Father. As a thank you.
All right. Hello, 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 and welcome to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. I'm your host, Nicole Cleveland, founder of Breathe Again Magazine and author of So He Cheated, Now What? Now, Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show, is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. We bring you guests that have been through the fire and back, but they have been refined by the fire, and we want you to know that if you may be in that fire right now, there is hope for you, and you know what? God is just refining you, and you are going to come out as pure gold. It's hot in there right now, but the guests that we have on the show let you know that if they made it, then you can too. I've been there, the guests have been there, and you may be there right now, but you're not going to stay there. And that's what we do each and every Thursday. We want you to visit us online at breatheagainmagazine.org, follow us on Twitter at Breathe Again, and connect with us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is Breathe Again Mag. Join our fan page, read some of the encouraging posts that we put out there. You can add your own encouraging posts, because as a body, we are to be uplifting one another, sharing each other's story to help one another. And that's what we're doing. We're not in competition with anyone. We are just out here trying to do our small part. And if we could reach one person, then our mission has been accomplished. So that is a blessing. You know, before we start the show, I really want to encourage someone that's going through something painful from someone they love dearly. You know, I've been there. I know many people have been there. They've been hurt by family members, a spouse, a loved one, a brother, a sister, a friend. But I want to encourage you, because I'm finding this more and more. You know, we go through this each and every day, but the more I'm talking to individuals, it's those that are closest to one that are hurting them the most. And I want you to just be encouraged by the scripture in Psalms, I believe it's 55 and 12, when David said, "It wasn't an enemy that reproached me, and if it was, then I would have understood it." This isn't verbatim, but he said along the lines of, "It was dine of my own household, it was one I fellowship with, the one I communed with, the one I ate with, you know, the one that I loved. I could deal with it if it was an enemy, but if it was somebody that I loved," and that's the hard part. So I want to encourage you right now that if you are going through that and you've been hurt by someone that you love dearly, just continue to pray. Just continue to pray for yourself, the situation, and that individual, because it's not going to last long, and God's going to dry those tears. He really is. He did it for me, and he'll also do it for you. I know that. I know it. I know it. I know it. Today's show, let's talk about today's show. It's all about making a comeback. My guest today is Terry Clay. She is an author, a motivational speaker, a business owner, and so much more. Terry has been through the fire and back. She's been from homelessness, four kids by the age of 21, welfare, domestic violence. Those are just a few of the issues that she had to endure, you know, in her years. But she didn't become a statistic. She kicked statistics in the teeth, and so therefore she is here to say, I made it and so can you. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
You are more than welcome. I am honored that you stopped by Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. So I said a little bit about you. So could you just tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself? Who is Terry Clay?
Wow. Terry Clay is a survivor, a make-it-happen person, an empower, somebody who beat the odds or went against the grain, so to speak. I had four kids by 21 years old, survivor of domestic violence by 21 years old, and a lot of those things happened because my mother, I had kind of disobeyed what my mother said. Like, my parents had told me not to date this guy. I did anyway and went and did what I wanted to do. And so after all of that happened, I looked up and 4 years, you know, so 7 years later, I had four kids, 21 years old, living, had been in two spouse abuse centers, two spouse abuse centers and two homeless shelters, and all this because of I had made some wrong choices. But at the age of 21, I decided that I wasn't going to be a statistic and I was going to beat the odds. And I was just a make-it-happen person anyway. I think I've always been that way. I think God makes people different sometimes so that they can become different, you know, so they can stand above the rest or be this image, so example, so to speak. And I always was different. I always never fit the mold. I always was this not never fit in person. And now I can see why, because I was supposed to be able to be and do some things and show people how to make it happen. So.
Right,
really who I am. Mm-hmm.
That is who you are. Look, I want to say thank you for writing the book. I want to say thank you for your transparency, because every time I read a book and it is a personal story, I thank that individual, because you didn't have to put pen to paper. You did not have to put those words out there. You know, a lot of people won't do it because of shame and embarrassment, but you did it. So I just want to say thank you for your transparency, Terry.
Thank you. No problem. I appreciate it. You know, God, again, I said, you know, he gives people assignments because he know who they are and what they're going to do with the information once they go through the storm.
Right, right.
So, you know, I was only doing what I know God told me to do.
Yeah, that's so true. A lot of times people will say, why you keep telling your story, or say to other individuals, why you keep saying this and why you keep saying it? And
right.
I'm like, I'm mandated to say it. God told
that's
me
right.
to say it. I
that's
have
right.
to tell the story, because we don't go through for ourselves. It ain't about us. It's not about
that's
me.
Right.
And it's not about you. It's for the other people that's going to come up behind us.
That's
so
right.
I'm sorry, boo-boo, if it offends you, but I have
right.
to do what I need to do.
Right, And the Bible also says we overcome by the word of our testimony.
Amen.
And so the only way that somebody else is going to change and be that, I mean, my story is so huge. It hits so many areas, but I can touch so many lives because of that, not just domestic violence. Somebody hit teenage pregnancy. I mean, I hit a lot. I was in with a drug addict. I mean, it was just a lot of issues that I can hit and say, you know what, I'm still here, and I made
That's
it.
That's right.
So.
That's right, and you've been there, you've been through it, and it's not something you read. This is the story that I have lived. This was my life, baby. This is not lifetime.
That's
right.
This
is my life. Look, I really want to talk about, and right now I want to encourage the mothers out there that are bringing up their children the correct way. They're bringing the children up in the home. But sometimes I argue this point with people all the time. They say when kids get in trouble or they start doing other things, they'd be like, well, it must have been the household. No,
mm-hmm.
baby, because
no.
you could be brought up in the same home two individuals, people going to church, they doing what they need to do. It could be a mother and a father in the home, and it's a choice that that individual makes. So
that's
can
right.
you encourage a mother right now? Because that
yes.
was you.
That was me. I was raised, and I don't know if I've addressed that in the book, but I went to private school from the kindergarten all the way to ninth grade.
Mm.
I was very sheltered. I had two family households, two parents from, you know, my whole life. They're still together now. You know, and I was on a curfew. I did everything, but
right.
it's not, you know, really you have to keep, what I tell people is that the kids that the parents are raising right, so to speak, are the one the devil wants to take out.
Yeah.
And so those yeah. are the ones that he has on the list.
Not
you know what I'm saying? To take out, because they are doing the right things. And sometimes he's going to see what weakness, let me see where they're weak at. Let me see, oh, they got low self-esteem. Okay, I know what to do. I know who to send them. I know how
right.
to fix this. They know. And I always, like I told you, I was different all the time, and I thought differently, and he knew that, so he could send
right.
me somebody that wouldn't fit the mold, and I guess it was he was like a bad boy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My kid's father
sent you
was
Deacon
he
Slick,
was.
Deacon Slick.
Yeah,
he sent you.
Showing up. And his family was raised totally different. His mother was she was a schizophrenic, so virtually mm-hmm. their house, he could smoke marijuana in his house. I mean, it was a
right.
total like. Really foreign house for me to even be at. So I probably be was just like, wow, they get to do all this.
Right.
Here,
this is
you know?
Cool.
You're right.
Right, right. Y'all got no curfew.
So that's the ones you have to keep in prayer. So all I'm saying
yeah.
is that you don't never know. The devil wants to take those kids out. And he can see what is mandated over your life. He knew that I could beat all kind of obstacles. He knew that I could make it happen, but he was going to keep trying to take me out. And so that's the same that I would say to parents is that keep your kids in prayer because and just keep the faith and keep stay in the word. And what I've just learned, I guess, recently or after the book, so to speak, is that it's not even about what you see. I mean, you shouldn't be moved by what you see. You don't be moved by what you feel.
Right.
Don't be moved by what you believe. But move by what the word of God says.
That's
and
right.
so even when your kid's acting a fool or whatever, even though you kept them in prayer and they still acting a fool, you got to remember what the word of God says. And if
that's
God
right.
says, I would never leave you nor forsake you, that's what's going to happen, even though if it looks crazy, off the
yeah.
chain, if it looks like, oh, he's gone. No, he's not gone.
No. Because
no
all this
what.
Is temporary. All this is temporary.
That's right. That's right.
That is
that's
good.
Right.
Now, look, you went back to school. You became a nurse. What
right.
was up with the schools and instructors? I was like laying your instructors out reading a book, like,
oh,
for real.
Oh, my gosh. The nursing field is a doggy-dog field, and people may not know that. And if it's your purpose to be a nurse, you'll be okay. But if
okay.
it's not your purpose, they're going to get you. They're going to eat you. They eat their young. They're known. If you look up nurses eat their young, you will see all type of articles out there about nurses and how they are. And they're just nurses are very anal. They're kind of – and I'm not. This is a trade that they need. I would say attention to detail,
right,
organized.
Right.
And so my personality was never probably any of those things. I don't know if that's why I just didn't fit in. But I lived in Kentucky, and Kentucky is very racist. And so they would see black students and just be like, "You gotta go." And this is simple. Nothing else. And that's what happened. They the one instructor, that's what she did. She lied on me, tried to put me out of the program, and eventually succeeded on putting me out of the program. But I think I told the story of how one time we were in a discussion, and really she took me in the room, and we were talking. And during the discussion, I was just saying, you know, I didn't realize I was supposed to do that. I was talking really nice and polite. And then right us all of a sudden, she started like, "Don't you be yelling at me," you know, and I'm like, "What? What?
Like
what
from
do you
the
mean?
Left, totally from the left, like, where did this come from?"
Right? So I'm like, I'm saying it louder, like, "What do you mean? I'm not yelling." And but right behind me, I didn't realize another girl was standing there. So
right,
he
right.
made it look as though I was
right.
yelling
set
at
up.
Her and then
set
me up for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I still never yelled at her because I didn't want to. I had four kids that I was trying to take care of. So whatever she did, I wasn't going to bite. But because she had a witness, I was able, you know, not a real witness because the woman really didn't know what was going on. I was put out of the program, but it was all a lie. And
right.
I went to the program. I was a fighter, and I had one of the things I had been writing notes all along. And I always say, if you really, I don't care anything, if you can start sensing that people are not coming right, and you feel like your job is threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And start charting, start writing
That's
every
right.
little thing. And I was writing. He said this, I said that. I mean, everything that felt funny,
Right.
It's like God, like, and those are ways of God speaking.
That's right. And you, and that wasn't your purpose. That's not what you were supposed to be doing anyway.
Wasn't.
And I want you to speak to that, because when you became a nurse, even when you got the degree, you were not happy. Talk to the audience about people not walking in their purpose, because there are so many people out here. Yes, they have a job, and we're grateful for folks that have jobs. They're on their 9 to 5, but they're stuck, and they are miserable. Talk to them right now and encourage them.
You know, it's the way I was in my job, I was counting down. I had a speaking engagement this weekend, and I told them, I said, I was counting down my days to get off of work 2 days before I even had to go to work. And so I was so miserable, so unhappy. But see, the one of the reasons why I was unhappy, because God made us all for a purpose, and he had a thought in mind. And I told them this weekend, and just like I pulled out a chair, and just like if I sat in the chair and I was expecting to drive across town in that chair, I wouldn't go anywhere, because it's a chair and it wasn't made for that purpose to take me anyway. And so just as the thought was to make that chair just something to sit in and not go anywhere, just to be comfortable or sit or keep us sitting or okay while we're eating dinner, whatever the purpose was made, just like we are made for purpose, if we're not doing what we are created to do, we're going to be unhappy, we're going to be miserable, and we don't have to do that. And this is what I want to say, that I don't know if I addressed it as much in the book, but I want to say that you have to fight for your dreams anyway. You have to have an attitude that this must happen. I did not go to working by myself, working for myself, without, it was rough. But I finally saw myself lose a lot of jobs. I saw myself doing this. I could see that I was not doing what God. Finally, I said, I'm going to be a motivational speaker. I'm going to have my book out no matter what. I don't care what happens. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to keep. And that, and only then is when I really started seeing God work. And so, if you know in your heart, if you are miserable, if you, and it doesn't even take for you to say, oh, I need to save $1,000 before I quit, or take, you know, whatever. Because I call myself doing that. I was going to save so much money, and then I was going to, but God would not even let me do it that way. And I'm glad he didn't, because I would have never knew what he could do.
Yeah.
If he had not just made me quit without a job. Do you hear me? This is how I quit. I quit my nursing job, because I knew I was working my business and I was working as a nurse. And I said, one day I said a prayer and I said, God, this, I am doing too much. I cannot. I said, if you tell me that it's time for me to leave this job, I will. I said, but I cannot quit. And I cannot just quit my job, because if I quit and it start going crazy, I'll think that this was not of you.
I said,
but if you kill the job, then I'll know that whatever it looks like after the fact, that I'm still on the right track.
Right.
And sure enough, I never worked again as a nurse from that prayer that day.
And
there was no savings. There was no savings. There was no, no. It was rough, okay?
Yeah.
I know that if God says it, you have to do it. If God tells you this is what you are made to do, I got you. You know, and I'm not saying to do what I did, because this just may have been my journey, because I'm going to tell it. You know, I'm a motivational speaker, so I may have to go through things that other people may not have to go through, because I'm going to tell them what to do. That's my job. My assignment is to change people with my story. I help them with my story. So I'm saying go in prayer, but if you're unhappy going to work, if you're counting down the hours and you're miserable, I'm telling you, God made you for something else. And ask them what it is if you don't know, and then if you do know, do it. Just do it.
That's it. Enough said. Simple as that. Just do it.
That's
right. Look, this has been good, but we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, Terry's going to tell us how she went from fab to fierce, because she was already fabulous, but she's going to tell us how she went to fierce. We'll be right back.
All right.
Did he cheat and you don't know what you're going to do? Are you struggling with rebuilding trust? If not, then you know someone that is. So He Cheated, Now What? By Nicole Cleveland is one woman's personal testimony of overcoming an affair in her marriage, an affair that produced a child. No, it's not about catching a cheating spouse, or six ways to get them back, or 12 ways to find out if he's cheating. It's all about forgiveness and moving past the pain into her purpose. Visit SoHeCheated.com or call 757-404-1582. Welcome back. Welcome back. We've been talking with the fierce Terry Clay, motivational speaker and author of From Fab to Fierce. Now, Terry, I love your book because you talk about still having struggles doing what you love. You were walking in your purpose, but purpose was still not completely there with you. So
That's right.
You found yourself back in the same situations as before. What happened that made you go from fab to fierce and completely walking in your purpose?
I had to start doing a self-assessment and to see what is really holding me back, because that's what you got to look at for yourself. What's holding me back? What am I not doing that I should be doing? And so when I guess the story I should tell is how I came up with the title From Fab to Fierce. Is I used to wear my hair very long. I wore lace wigs, weaves. I was a weave queen. Nobody ever saw my real hair. I don't even know if I knew what it looked like. And so one day I asked God for a branded look. And when I asked God to brand my look, I didn't hear from anything right away. And my grandmother turned 90. And so I went to her 90th birthday party. My daughter, who was in hair school, I was wearing a lace wig at the time, so I wouldn't wear it around the house, so she would see my real hair. And she said, "Mama, your hair is damaged. You know, it looks really bad." And I said, "Oh, okay." So my brother was there, and he cuts hair, so I said, "Oh, just cut it off." And so they was like, "What?" And I was like his, you know. So everybody was like, "What?" You know, and I just like, "Yeah, just cut it off." And I was thinking I was going to wear the wig, cut it off, and let it grow back from scratch. That was my thoughts. But God always has a plan. And so I cut it off, and then I put the wig back on it, and it was so hot with the wig on short hair. I was like, "Oh, no, we're not doing this. We want to think of something else." And so so I said, "Okay, we're going to take the wig off." So when I got home, I'm jazzy, and I thought, "Oh, let's jazz it up." And then I look in the mirror, and I say, "Oh, here's my branded look." I didn't even plan it. It just happened. And so one day I looked in the mirror, I was like, "Oh, I'm fierce," you know. And so I thought, wow, that would be a nice book, From Fab to Fierce, because I was fine before. It wasn't, people tell me all the time, "Oh, you look so good the other way, but you look good this way too," you know.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like it was nothing wrong with the other look. And just like it was nothing wrong with me before, but when I went to From Fab to Fear, that's how I did the book. Like just like I was fine before, I looked up and I'm fine now. And so I took the word fierce and made it an acronym.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of all the ways of things that have held me back from accomplishing my dreams. And so the first part of the acronym is F. And I utilized my look change. Of everything I thought of with my look change was also a way for me to help me accomplish my dreams, or help anybody to accomplish their dreams. And the first one was to be fearless. Just as when I cut my hair off, I had to be fearless to chop all my hair off.
Yes,
cut it like
did.
A man's hair.
You
and
went
dye it
all
blonde.
The way down and went platinum
right.
blonde.
Yes.
I love it. I was like, woo.
And so you have to be fearless. And I looked at myself and I realized that even though that I was this motivational speaker and I'm always telling people to make it happen and do all these things, Terry Clay was fearful. And I didn't even know it. I didn't even see it because it seems like I was fearless. And so that was one of the things that I did. And the next one was to live with intention. And so just like I was when I was thinking, "Oh, I'm going to cut my hair off and brand my look and do the, you know," I was doing it for a purpose and a thought in mind. I had to do the same thing to accomplish my dream, intentional. And that's what everyone has to do, is to live with intention. The next E was electrifying. It was platinum blonde. It was a big drastic change. It went from long hair when I went to my church, people were introducing themselves to me. That's how drastic the change was. And I would be like, the pastor's wife, for one, she said, "Oh, I'm Winona Preston." I was like, "Yeah, I know." and then one of my coworkers, she was like, "Miss Preston, it's Terry." And she was like, "What?" And then she still didn't remember me. I had to show her a picture of me. And she was like, "What?" I mean, she just couldn't believe it. And so just the people were introducing themselves, and they finally have figured it out now that I've worn this hair almost a year. I think people are still realizing that my church is like over almost 3,000 people, so it's people that saw me before, but they just didn't realize I was the same person.
Right.
And
right.
So it was an electrifying change. It was a drastic change, huge change. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you may have to do to accomplish your dream. You may have to go all the way and do an electrifying change. And the other thing I had to do was an R is right now. Just do it right now. Just like I was saying, just do it. It is not wait. Don't plan $200. Just do it. I didn't wait to let me test it. Let me see if my hair is going to look. I didn't do none of that. Just cut it off and do it. That's how you got to do to accomplish your dreams. And the next C is to conquer. And that's just you may have to conquer and overcome anything. And the last one is endure. And that just means you have to wait for miracle territory. You know, it's, you have to endure the pain and the struggles and the things, and that's what I had to do to accomplish my dreams. And once I realized, I looked through all those things, I didn't realize I wasn't as fabulous as I thought. But then when I became fierce on the inside, as I did on the outside, so.
That's good. That is real good advice. We have some people in the chat room, Larie Wright and Victoria Gwen, they all say you are helping them. You are really speaking to us and our purpose and what we need to be doing to be fierce. So to God be the glory. I want to read an excerpt from your book. In your book, you say, in order to have true success, you must be willing to release and let go. You must dig within yourself and find out what's really holding you back. No more not living in reality. Always remember God knows exactly what you need, and when you allow him to take over, he will get you to the place where he wants you to be. That is good advice right there, and we are coming to a close. But I really want to thank you for joining us today, and I want you to let our listeners know how they can purchase your book, how they can get in touch with you, if they need to book you for a speaking engagement. Let them know how to reach out to you.
Okay, I want to say one more thing that I like that your show is about telling people's story. We're doing an anthology called I Survived, and if there's anybody that's a survivor that would like to tell their story in the book I Survived, and you have somebody in the chat room that's in the book, they can. All of this will be on my website, which is www.terry, it's T-E-R-R-I, Clay, C-L-A-Y, Inspires, I-N-S-P-I-R-E-S.com. You can also book me for engagements on there. I'm on Facebook, T Clay I S on Facebook. I'm Terry, T-E-R-R-I, Clay on Twitter. And I'm also on YouTube. So you can get me anywhere, but mainly at my website again, www.terry, T-E-R-R-I, Clay, Inspires. And that's I-N-S-P-I-R-E-S.com.
That's wonderful. And you know what? I'm going to have you back because I want to chat with you about weight loss. I want to chat with you about choosing the wrong men, how you got over that. You have so many different stories that will speak to our audience. And
I really would like to talk about the men because I really just I didn't date for a year. And I got so much to tell. Like we do have to come back because I would love to tell that story about how I'm doing with my new back dating again.
Oh, that would be good, real good. Larie Wright in the chat room says, oh, man, seems like this show went by real quick. And Victoria Gwynn says, this was rich, loved it. So thank you for those that came by and stopped by the chat room. We have some guests in there as well, those that are listening on the line. I just want to thank you, Miss Fab. No, I was about to say fabulous, but it is from fab to fierce. So Miss Fierce, Terry Clay. If you're an author or if you just have a story and you want to share your story, get with Terry. Terry Inspires. Let's see. It is TerryClayInspires.com. She has all that information on her website. Connect with her on Facebook and Twitter, and you can connect with her through our page as well. Well, you know what? This has been another 30 Minutes on Thursday, and we have brought you another fabulous guest. Well, she is a fierce guest, telling her story that you won't feel like you're alone. And if God did it for her, God will definitely do it for you. So you know what? We never say goodbye. We always say until next time. God bless you.